Welcome in to another edition of the Canes Insight Podcast. I'm your host, Peter Ariz, alongside D Money. As usual, two new commits to talk about via the transfer portal. I know the fans have been antsy trying to figure out who was next. And I know there's more to come, D, but two really good ones here in AJ Allen and Jadis Richard, guys who are probably undervalued a bit coming out of high school, and Miami with some nice pickups, guys who are going to be contributors this year for them.
Absolutely. And what I like about these two commits is a lot of times with the portal, you're plugging holes. It's an immediate patch-up job. In this case, those are weak positions, positions you need depth. But at the same time, you are getting upside guys that still have development, that still have an ability to be impact players, to be developed in your system. These are guys that played 1 year of college football, played good competition, 10 SEC, and now need to take the next step in their development. Already shown productivity, but now still have room for more growth, which will happen at Miami as opposed to, you know, a fifth-year guy who's coming in to just patch a hole. So that's what's exciting. They're almost like signees. Last year, Mario came in halfway through the year for his signing class, so he didn't have the full class. He sort of put it together at the last minute, speaking of the class of 2022. So these two guys are that age. So it's almost like you're plugging that class in with more volume. Difference being these guys have already proven themselves a little bit and produced at the college level and been developed for a year. So you start with the running back, A.J. Allen, out of Nebraska, originally from Louisiana. This is a guy who ran for 2,200 yards his senior year. Extremely productive, 5'10", 5'11", in that 190 range. Physically similar to Henry Parrish. I think he looks a little bigger body type. I think he gained more weight, but in that mold. But what you like about this guy is just the change of direction. Parrish has great moves too. This guy really can make you miss with very efficient cuts, hits the hole hard, has burst, was productive at Nebraska, over 5.8 yards a carry, again, explosive when he played. Just as Big Ten play just was about to get started, he hurt his collarbone against Oklahoma. And in that game, he was emerging as the lead back. Again, true freshman. He had about 10 carries, 40 yards in that game. Looked good in pass protection, looked explosive, was bouncing off guys, actually stiff-armed Jaden Davis, who's another Miami transfer portal right before he got hurt. So he's somebody who was emerging. And if he didn't hurt his collarbone, you might be talking about him as Nebraska's running back of the future and one of the best young running backs in the Big Ten. Speaking of sources, that's what the word was coming out on him, was that, you know, people around that league felt he was one of the best young backs out there. This is, again, coaching buzz. So someone with a lot of respect as far as what he could be and what he had shown in limited action. Obviously only had about 40-something carries, but the explosiveness was there, and the upside was apparent. Speed-wise, again, probably more burst, I would say, in twitch than Parrish, and showed that ability to have long runs at the high school level. Again, the gaudy yards per carry average says a lot. But talking to people in Miami, they're really excited about the toughness, the overall football player. Again, the ability to block, be aware in pass protection as a young player. This is someone from Louisiana. Those guys are like South Florida players. They always have great instincts, great toughness, great awareness. They know how to play the game.
They're ready to play.
Correct. They are not afraid of anybody. So, you know, this guy has shown ability, but there's more meat on the bone from what he could be as a running back. Miami wanted a starting caliber running back this year. We've been saying it on this podcast really since before the spring. They wanted to add somebody to that room. Trevante Citizen, who was the running back in that class of 2022, I mentioned, injured, had a setback. You don't know when he's going to be ready. You don't want to count on him. So you bring in an A.J. Allen, and you plug that hole. And you not only plug the hole immediately, but you add a young name to the room, somebody who can develop. Nebraska people thought he was a future NFL back. They really liked this.
Well, game. Matt Rhule, I was reading Matt Rhule was like really excited about the running back room in general, but you know, a lot of it was because of A.J. Allen.
Yeah, and Matt Rhule had a little emoji battle with Cristobal recently. I don't know what that was all about. I don't know the backstory there, but he's not going to be happy to lose a talented back to the Miami Hurricanes, but Miami really needed this guy. Again, you have Parrish, who you know what he can do. Chaney, hard to rely on because of injuries, although he had a good spring showing flashes. Trevante Citizen, you really can't rely on him because of the rehab schedule. Then you have two true freshmen, Mark Fletcher and Chris Johnson. So this guy fills that gap that Citizen left when he got hurt and got put out of commission with that class of 2022 back. So really excited about what he brings to the table coming out of Monroe, Louisiana, and starting to see a foothold develop there with guys like Lance Guidry, the defensive coordinator, Dennis Smith, and coordinator, guys with deep Louisiana roots. And this major addition is someone who'll make an impact this year.
Well, and he's not the only one. Obviously, Jadis Richard on the other side of the ball. Very intriguing pickup, in my opinion, and from what I understand, was highly sought after in the portal. But another guy who, like you said, is not just coming in as a plug and you got 1 year, you got a few years out of him potentially. And he's bringing that frame, that length, that physicality that the staff is looking for.
Big time athletic talent. Again, class of 2022, you signed Chris Graves, who's been up and down, just kind of, you know, in terms of preparation and things like that. Talents there. Kamari Rogers, who's gone, and Jaden Harris, who most likely will be a safety down the road. So you really only have one corner there, and he hasn't seized the opportunity yet as a starter. So now you add another corner to that group who has played in the SEC. He's played against NFL receivers like Jalin Hyatt, Justin Shorter. He's played against NFL quarterbacks, Anthony Richardson, guys like that. So Will Levis. So he's somebody who has experience at Vanderbilt, finished the season as their starting boundary corner. But to me, upside with him, you're not just plugging a hole. You're getting someone you can mold potentially into an NFL player. This guy's 6'2", about 200 pounds, looks great. I heard he was by far the best looking cornerback down here. You know, when you compare him to the guys in our room already, just physically, he looks the part. This guy was an honorable mention All-State basketball player as a wingman, somebody who threw down some disgusting dunks. You could see them on YouTube and Twitter. In high school, he was more of a safety, and you saw his physicality. He was flying down the field on special teams, knocking people out, blocking kicks, but maybe a little raw instinctually at safety. Moves to corner Vanderbilt, ultimately finished the season as their starting boundary corner. And I think that's the spot for him. Again, the size is ideal for corner. He has that basketball athleticism. Also ran 11 flat, or about 11.01 in 100 meters, which makes him pretty much one of our fastest cornerbacks. I'd say Malik Curtis to Corey Couch, and then him from a timing standpoint. Chris Graves, Devontae Brown.
Devontae Brown, I don't know if he's necessarily track speed, but he's not slow either.
Right, but this guy, the point is this guy can run for being 200 right. pounds. So you put him at the boundary, he has perfect tools there. If you want to put him at the big nickel, which is a need, he can also play there, even a safety. Again, he played that in high school. I think boundary corner is the best spot for him. The Florida game really was my extended look at him. I went back and rewatched it. He really did a fantastic job. Twice forced hurries on blitzes. He was able to get there quickly with explosiveness. The size stood out right away, but also speed. I mean, he was running with guys down the field, no problem. Got matched up one time with Justin Shorter. Again, a fifth-round pick to the Buffalo Bills. Ran with no problem, broke up the ball on a deep ball that would have been, you know, a 70-yard touchdown if he didn't break it up. So showed some nice speed there. There was one play where there was a miscommunication with the safety. The announcers blamed it on the safety. Hard to tell what happened there. But other than that, he was pretty spotless. Showed some nice physicality. Again, watch his high school clips. You see him knocking people out on special teams. That's usually a very good indicator of what he can do from a physical standpoint. So the body type combined with the speed and the basketball athleticism, this is something we don't necessarily have in that cornerback room right now. Coach Adai just put four corners in the NFL. Can he develop Richard from an ascending talented guy into an all-conference NFL type of guy? Again, started off at safety, finished the year as a starter, and then in spring, by all accounts, was Vanderbilt's best corner. So to me, there's an arrow pointing up guy. Can he keep that upward trajectory here in this program and end up being an impact corner? You lost Tyreek Stevenson second round. You lost DJ Ivey seventh round. You have one big corner on one side with Devontae Brown. Can he be the other big corner? So now, even if you don't replace that talent necessarily or that athleticism of what you lost, you're at least coming closer to that, and you have the size, you know, big and big, replacing big and big. Still have Daryl Porter, You still have the Corey Couch. Have added Jaden Davis as far as more undersized experienced guys. Now you got some big experienced guys that really hold you down on the edges.
Hey, D, what's next in the portal? Obviously, it was a big visit weekend, as you reported in the bank last week. And there were some guys I know Miami is very high on, could also be potential contributors this next year. Where do they stand with some of those guys?
So what I heard coming out of the weekend was Miami liked everybody. It wasn't a situation where Miami saw players and said, you know, we're going in a different direction, which happens sometimes. They liked all the guys that visited. I was told there's going to be multiple commitments this week spaced out. So we'll see how that plays out. I know Tywan Malone from Ole Miss, the defensive tackle, was a guy that Miami's felt good about since he entered the portal. Now it's being reported that he might be leaning towards Ohio State. So who knows how that situation plays out. But I was told that Miami expects commitments this week, not just the two that they received recently. So we'll see how that plays out. I went through the portal shopping list on this podcast a couple weeks ago. Backup quarterback, they're still working there. Starting caliber running back, you could check that one off. A flanker to challenge Jacoby George, that's still up in the air. Is that going to be Shamar Kirk, who visited this past weekend, the junior college wide receiver who fits in that spot? And
I saw him post do not disturb last night. I hate that I'm back into reading these tweets and these Instagram posts, but you know, if he's trying to get people to kind of stay away for a few days before he announces something, then maybe that's what that means.
Yeah, we'll see. I heard there is communication as far as from the coaching staff, and he's someone that Miami felt good about coming out of his visit. So potentially check that box. Backup interior offensive lineman, Miami had Amari Wiggins, the junior college center slash guard from Coffeyville. They like him. He's still going to take visits potentially to LSU. Miami would like to add him because he has multiple years of eligibility. If not him, then perhaps Luis Cristobal from Georgia State. Of course, Mario Cristobal's nephew. Not as talented as Wiggins, not as much starting potential, but you'd fill that backup center spot. That's an area they still need to address. Again, defensive tackle, you had Kyvie Rose from Louisiana Tech visiting. Tywan Malone, we talked about him. They'd like to add someone there. You saw Jared Harrison Hunt, who's been rumored for a long time to potentially be exploring the portal. He just re-upped with the collective. I think that was posted right before we started recording. So he might be someone that sticks around. So don't need to replace him necessarily, but you still want to add someone in that room. Linebacker, they take the right guy. They like Larry Nixon out of North Texas, who visited this past week. He had good things to say, but he still has visits coming up. You'll monitor that situation. And although Jadis Richard can play that big nickel, I would not be surprised if they still added another player who can play that role. So we'll see what happens. The portal is closed for undergraduate players, so that's still something to watch. The graduate portal never closes, so that continues. So we'll see how this whole thing plays out. But those are the positions that I'm looking for to finish off this class from a portal perspective.
And it is that time of year where guys are graduating. So some of them may just say, you know what, I'm done here academically. I want to move on and do something football wise. So we'll see what happens. Like you said there, shifting away from the portal and recruiting, D, I wanted to talk a little bit about guys who maybe aren't getting talked about enough after spring practice, after the spring game. Everyone sees the flash plays out there. But I know you had the opportunity to really see a lot of what was going on throughout the rest of the spring. Who are some guys that aren't getting the buzz that will be major parts of what this team does this season?
Sure. And this is, again, coaching feedback, people around the program, people that watch practice, sort of debriefing after spring, reconnecting with people. You still hear on the offensive line, Matthew McCoy. Now, he was hurt for most of spring, so it's not based on his spring performance, but just what he brings to the table physically, what he did last year. There is still a lot of love for Matthew McCoy. I saw him in the spring game. I saw him at practice. He's a good inch and a half taller than Zion Nelson and heavy. He's a former tight end. So he's a guy with a lot of size, I think more physical tools than people realize, as a former tight end who just kept growing and growing and growing. I think he's bigger than Miami might have projected when they first laid eyes on him, because he looks every bit of 6'6", 300-plus pounds, well over 300 pounds. Can play tackle, maybe put him inside, even center potentially if he can learn it. That's going to be a huge boost to the offensive line that he did not have in most of spring. On defense, I'm told that the staff absolutely loves Branson Dean, the defensive tackle from Purdue. He had a little bit of an injury, got his spring cut short, but at the time that he was healthy, and he'll be fine for camp and in the weight room, he has shown tremendous ability, great attitude. He's stronger, which you hear from younger players, not these old, fully developed guys, but apparently he's gotten a lot stronger and put on weight while still maintaining his quickness. If you go by PFF, he was one of the top five most disruptive interior rushers in the country. Leonard Taylor, another guy on that list. Put those two together, you're going to get a lot of pressure inside, which if you're a quarterback, you do not want that quick straight line pressure coming from the top, you know, from the interior. That's very hard to avoid. Can't step up and avoid that. They're coming right at you. So Branson Dean was specifically mentioned to me as, you know, people knew he's solid. This guy could be a stud, according to the coaching staff, better than they thought.
And D, we'll wrap it up with this last thing here. I wanted to get to something that was all over social media over the weekend. Maryland spring game. Josh Gattis is the new offensive coordinator up there, and head coach Mike Locksley wasn't too pleased with the early results of his offense out there.
Yeah, it's you heard him say what it was like watching paint dry, which was pretty candid. But really, to me, when I think
about it, does that validate anything? Listen, it's so early, but does that validate anything of what we were experiencing last year? And kind of, you know, when I say validate, I'm talking more towards Tyler Van Dyke's performance, right? And why there should still be optimism about him and him in this fit of this offense moving forward.
So there is a lot that goes into an offense performing. It is the most synchronized group in sports, right? As far as all the parts need to be working together for it to succeed, a football offense. There's no freestyling. You got to do your job and you got to be on time. When it came to Gattis, obviously there were personnel issues. We know the offensive line was not where it should have been. And that caused significant problems, particularly with how Mario and Gattis wanted to play. When you have 6'1" guards and you have tremendous amount of injuries at that position, and you don't have the depth to make up for that, you have a lot of problems. So that was a personnel problem that Gattis inherited. Also, the receiving core, really, you had a lot of guys that didn't make the steps. Some guys didn't work. Some guys didn't have the talent. Kobe Young, who was really the star of the show, didn't develop until midway through the year. So there were other issues there. Running back, again, multiple injuries. Had to rely on Lucius Stanley, who was fresh off the street, a UAB transfer walk-on. So there are a lot of personnel reasons. But what I'll say is this does show, or not only shows, but it gives some evidence that maybe it wasn't just the personnel. Dan Enos, who was Gattis' predecessor at University of Maryland, obviously we had him. That offense was terrible. When you look at Enos, he had a toxic quarterback situation with three quarterbacks with character issues and suspensions, which that's hard to do. I think he had four if you count Weldon. I don't know if Weldon was still there. But you know, multiple quarterbacks with character issues and suspensions, which is unheard of. An even worse offensive line situation than what Gattis had. Murray had Zion Nelson starting as a true freshman, about 270 pounds. So personnel-wise, Enos really had it bad. He could not have had it worse. Struggled. But then he went to Maryland and you saw, hey, this guy does know what he's doing. It wasn't a good fit. He didn't adjust. He made mistakes here and he had some other things he had to deal with. But the guy is a real offensive coordinator. You give him decent enough players, he'll coordinate a good offense and had some success in Maryland, parlayed that into the Arkansas offensive coordinator job. Now you're seeing Gattis very early, just spring, not necessarily having the same success. So that to me, it's going to be an interesting comparison, Gattis and Enos, to see, is this a situation where the personnel really caused the offense to struggle, or was Gattis that bad that he held it back? You also had the factor, when I talk about last year's team, the word I use is dysfunction. Because maybe the jury's out on Gattis, but these other guys can coach. There are other good coaches that have had success on the staff, and even Gattis has had success. They were not functioning as a unit, particularly when you had Gattis and Ponce basically not speaking as the quarterback coach and the offensive coordinator. Ponce coming from that Scott Satterfield system, very unique system, ton of zone. Gattis, much more power gap scheme, Michigan, Harbaugh, all that, Alabama. So they were not paired philosophically, and then ultimately we're not paired just from a personal standpoint. It just was a mismatch. Tyler Van Dyke and the other quarterbacks get caught in the middle. This year, we know the offensive coordinator and the quarterback coach are on the same page because it's the same guy. It's Dawson. So that's one area where I think you'll see a lot of improvement, just that sort of cohesion. But yeah, when your coach is just hired you and he's on TV saying that watching your offense is like watching paint dry, not a good start for Josh Gattis up in
ominous. Some would say an ominous beginning.
Yeah. Not great in up in Maryland.
Hey D, before we go, shout out to Lonnie Walker last night on his performance, bringing the Lakers home to a 3-1 series lead against the Warriors. It's awesome to see his journey, obviously starting with the Spurs and then being in and out of the lineup with the Lakers to now looks like having a solidified role moving forward for them. So awesome to see him have that performance last night.
Absolutely. Bruce Brown too tonight. I don't know this podcast will come out. I guess the game won't already happen, but he'll be playing for Denver. James Jones, is he still a Phoenix in the personnel department?
Yeah, he's the GM president over there, so he's calling the shots.
So all three of those guys having some success here in the postseason, playing meaningful games with the final eight. So good to see. You get to see the Heat take care of business against the Knicks. You know, another 20 years of dominance upcoming in that rivalry. And don't forget to like and subscribe to the podcast. We're going to have lives coming out. If you like some of the lives that have been going on, we'll have those. You get a notification once every time one of those pops if you subscribe. There's a lot of content basketball. You have the instant reaction pod to the Matthew Cleveland transfer. Check that out. Really diving into basketball coverage and daily content on Instagram, canes.insight. One couple more plugs, Underdog Fantasy. Want to put some basketball picks in. Over-unders on player performance, promo code CIS. You get a free $100 from Underdog Fantasy. Again, promo code CIS. And if you want some of the Canes Insight gear, Canes Insight Shopify, it's all links in the bio here. It's on the website. Get yourself some hoodies. Get yourself a Weback hoodie if you're really excited about the new transfers. Maybe a Green Tree All-American shirt if you're not that confident how they'll perform. But plenty of gear, plus the classic Canes Insight logo at the Canes Insight Shopify shop.
We'll be back next week, hopefully more portal commitments and things of that nature. Go Canes.
Go Canes.